Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm nearing the end of a series that I've been teaching on for 4 weeks, talking about the fear of the Lord. And we're now on our fifth and final teaching in this brand new CD album that I have entitled The Fear of the Lord. And also, I've got this in DVD. We've taken DVDs that are actually made from our television program. And then I also taught this at our November Gospel Truth Seminar in Fort Worth, Texas. So we have a live teaching of this on DVD. So you can either get the live service, the teaching that was directly made from TV, or you can get the CDs that were also made at this live teaching in Fort Worth, Texas. And this teaching on the fear of the Lord is just really, really important. It's amazing to me how many people have not sorted these things out. If you were to ask people, do you have a fear of the Lord, you get one of two reactions. Either people think that this is talking about the terror, the dread of the Lord, and if they really experience the grace of God, they say, no, I don't fear God. Or you will have people that use it and basically become mean and judgmental and harsh with people because of what they call the fear of the Lord. And so I don't believe either one of those is the correct thing. I don't think we're supposed to dread the Lord, have a terror of Him, but we are supposed to reverence Him. We are supposed to trust Him, honor Him, be committed unto Him. I've taken many, many scriptural examples and shown a godly thing. The last thing I was teaching on is where it says that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And we spent about 4 days talking about that there is a godly use of anger. And we ought to hate evil, not hate the evil people or the people that evil comes through, but we are supposed to hate the evil that is in the world. We're supposed to hate sickness and poverty and depression and loneliness and strife and all of these kind of things we are supposed to hate. And it's amazing how many Christians think that you aren't supposed to hate anything. I actually one time was teaching in a church, and I forgot exactly how I got off on it, but I said something about just getting angry at the devil and letting him have it and telling him where to go. And I was on the devil's case, and the pastor of the church came up to me afterwards and says, we don't get mad at anybody around here, not even the devil. And I tell you, that's wrong. You ought to hate the devil. You ought to hate these evil things. In the Bible, you know, in the book of Revelation, when God's wrath is poured out and the plagues come upon the earth and people are made to drink blood and they get so fearful that they say, they ask the rocks to fall on them and crush them to hide them from the fierce anger of the Lord. All of the saints are standing around praising God and saying, this is justice. This is the way it's supposed to be. That they have killed the blood, they have killed people and you've given them blood to drink. And they're praising God for this. And these are people that are now in glory with a glorified body. They aren't selfish. It's not demonic. They are praising God for the execution of His wrath upon the ungodly. And with some people's theology today, there's actually people teaching that God is so merciful that someday that Satan and the false prophet and the beast and all of these people are going to be reconciled to God, and that people are in hell are going to sooner, sometime or another pay their due and be taken back into relationship with God. And that is not what the Word of God teaches. I tell you, we need to understand the holiness and the awesomeness of God and His justice. And if you understand it properly, it doesn't take away from the grace of God. It makes you even more thankful that we have God's grace and that He will never be angry with us and He'll never rebuke us. It makes us appreciate what we've got even more. So this is what we've been talking about, and it's been really powerful. I want to talk to you today and through the end of this week for the next 3 days. I want to talk about why the wicked sin. And this is really simple. Most people would think, well, man, I know why they sin. It's their nature to sin. But there's some things in Scripture here that even get more specific and give more insight into it. For instance, in Psalms chapter 36, verse 1, it says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before His eyes. So you could say it this way. One of the reasons that people sin is because they don't have a fear of the Lord. And in this instance, I think that as a born-again believer, it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, that perfect love casts out fear. Whoever fears has not been made perfect in love, because fear has torment. And so I think that for the New Testament believer, we don't have a fear of punishment, a dread of impending doom and judgment. And I don't think that it's right for a believer to have that kind of a fear, because Jesus has redeemed us from that. And Jesus said Himself that if you believe on Me, you will never come into condemnation. Never, out of John chapter 3. He also said, Paul said, speaking for the Lord in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And so I believe for the born-again believer, we are never going to come under the condemnation and the judgment of the Lord. And so we shouldn't have a fear of God in the sense of terror or dread or a fear of punishment coming up. I don't think that that's appropriate. But for people who don't know the Lord, even though God sent His Son Jesus, and that Jesus has paid for the sins of the world, if a person rejects so great a salvation and does not make Jesus the Lord, you know what? It is right for them to recognize that there is coming a judgment day, and that there is coming a day of reckoning. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." If you reject that gift, well, then there is a wage. There is a payment. And if you don't let the Lord pay for your sins, if you don't accept that payment, I think it is correct that we should have, I'm talking about a non-believer, an absolute terror, a dread of the Lord. Not in the sense that we ignore that through Jesus He so loved the world He gave His Son, but we need to recognize that there is a holy God, and that we have fallen, and that we have sin, and because of sin, that sin separated us from God, and Jesus made a payment, and it offers this to everybody. So I do not believe in just trying to scare people out of hell by preaching hellfire and damnation, but I do believe that it is appropriate for a person to recognize that there is coming a judgment, and we will all stand before the Lord, and we will have to give an account for what we've done. If we made Jesus our Lord, then I believe that that's going to X out all of our mistakes and all of our failures, and we will be accepted and reconciled to God just because of what Jesus did. But for those who don't accept Jesus, there is coming a judgment day. And if people lived with this knowledge, then it's just like it says here in Psalms 36:1, "The transgression of the wicked says within my heart." It didn't necessarily say within their heart, but here's what it says to me. This is what it says to a person who believes and knows the truth, that there is no fear of God before His eyes. If people knew that they were going to be held accountable, and that there was a day of reckoning, and that we are going to be judged based on the actions that we have. Now again, if we made Jesus our Lord, I believe that those actions are all superseded by the forgiveness that we have in Jesus. But for those who don't accept Jesus, you are going to give an account of every single thing. Matthew chapter 12 says, "Every idle word that you speak, will you give an account thereof in the day of judgment? For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." Boy, that one scripture alone, if people really knew that and believed it, it would strike a fear in their heart, because think of all of the idle words. Think of the things that we've said in gossip, talking about people. Think of the words of anger that we've said, and to think that someday every single word that you have ever spoken out of your mouth, you are going to be made accountable for that, I guarantee you it would change people. You know, I think of the Columbine shootings that took place in Colorado, up in the Denver, Colorado area in, I think it was April of 2009. And the two boys that did that, Eric Harris, Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris, I believe, were their names. They went in and they killed 13 people, I think one teacher and students, and then they turned the guns on themselves and killed themselves. Did you know that they didn't have a fear of the Lord? They didn't. They were under the deception of thinking that they could escape prosecution, that they could go in and take vengeance on people that didn't like them and somehow or another inflict pain on other people, get even with them, and then just kill themselves, and that way nobody could touch them. But see, that's because they didn't have a fear of the Lord. They didn't believe in God, or if they believed in God, they didn't believe in heaven and hell. They thought that this life was all that there was to it. And by killing themselves, they thought that they were escaping prosecution. That's not what the Word of God teaches. The Word of God teaches that you immediately go to either heaven or hell, and you await a final judgment, but really your fate is already cast by the decisions that you made here on this earth. And according to the Scripture, those boys went directly into the pit of hell. And they think that being prosecuted by the government, it would have been bad. Being put in jail would have been bad. The mockery of a trial would have been bad. None of those things compare to what they're experiencing right this moment in hell. And you know what? There's a lot of people that have lost this fear of the Lord. And because of it, they go ahead and do evil thinking that I won't get caught, because you could beat the system. You can steal and you can do some things and you may never get caught here on this earth. But I guarantee you that you are going to be accountable to God every single thing that you have ever done. And according to what Jesus said, not only your actions, but your thoughts. If you've lusted and desired it in your heart, you're going to be held accountable for that. If people knew that, and if they had that fear of the Lord, I guarantee you it would stop a lot of the things that are going on. But people think that all they're answerable to is society, and that they might be able to get by. Or that if they get caught, if they get a good lawyer, they can get a reduced sentence, and they are only looking at things in a natural realm. I tell you, the fear of the government isn't near as strong as the fear of the Lord. If people had a fear of the Lord, according to this verse, they would depart from evil. Again, if I go back to this Columbine shooting, these two boys that did this, did you know what? They started discussing all of this about how that we need to put armed policemen in our schools, that we need to have metal detectors. They came up with this zero tolerance policy, to where I've actually heard of some kids in the first and second grade who just had a pocket knife. And they were expelled, and it was because they forgot it. There was no malicious intent. The kids weren't bad, but they just have zero tolerance and expel them from school and all these things. When all of this began to happen, I remember reading in our Colorado papers about a man who was elderly at the time. Again, this was back in 2009. I think he might have been in his 80s. And so, you know, this would have been back in the very early part of the 20th century. And he talked about that when he was a kid living in the country, that everybody owned guns and knives, and they brought their guns to school. I mean, they used guns to defend themselves, to kill animals, to eat and things. And kids in grade school had guns and brought guns with them to school. And he said, we never had a shooting. We never had any of these problems. And the reason he was bringing this up is to say that metal detectors aren't the answer. Armed policemen aren't the answer. A military situation where you lock down and you just make everybody under scrutiny and you're constantly examining them is not the answer. He says the problem is that we have removed morality and people no longer have a fear of the Lord. See, people back in the early 19th century, not only the people who were committed Christians, but society was still under the influence of morality and Christianity. And because of that, even the people who weren't born again, the people who weren't serving God, they knew that there was a God, and they knew that they were doing wrong, and they knew that if they did something, they couldn't just kill themselves and escape prosecution. They knew that that would usher them directly into eternity. And because of that, that fear of the Lord restrained the amount of sin. Here's another verse on this in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 6. It says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. If people aren't departing from evil, it's because they don't have a fear of the Lord. They don't have a knowledge of the Lord. They don't believe that somehow or another they're going to stand before a God of the universe and be made accountable. And let me just inject some of my own thoughts here that I believe is based on Scripture, but I believe that this is one reason that evolution has become so popular and is being promoted when it is not scientific fact. I know that there's people that will take issue with me and say, man, you are just totally wrong. It is a proven fact. I can show you, I can go to some websites and show you that there are thousands of scientists, leading scientists, who have signed on to creationism. Or many of them aren't even Christians. They won't necessarily say it's creationism, but they will call it intelligent design, believing that this is absolutely mathematically impossible for this earth to exist through random selection, as evolution promotes. And so there are leading scientists. So the reason I bring that up is to say that when people say, but it's a scientific fact, it's proven. It is not proven. There are many scientists who reject the whole idea. And later in 2012, this year, I'm going to be giving an expose on this and actually bringing some of these scientists on and have them give some scientific, empirical evidence about this. It is not a proven fact. And I believe that the reason it's been embraced is because it allows people to operate without a fear of God. They're able to say that we weren't created. We just evolved. We aren't answerable to anybody. Therefore, I can live like a dog. I can have the morality of an alley cat, and I'll never be held accountable for it. It's just a matter of whatever society will tolerate. And they throw out the Bible and they throw out a reckoning and a standing before God. People desire that. Because you know what? When you remove the fear of the Lord, when you remove a creator who is going to hold us accountable for our actions, it allows people to live in ways and indulge themselves in ways that they couldn't do otherwise. You know, I was studying this just the other day, and over in John chapter 3, right after the famous scripture about God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In verse 17, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now this is Jesus speaking. And it says, he that believeth in Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And if you were to go back to John chapter 1, it says, in Him was life, and that life was the light of man. So Jesus is this light. So this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, Jesus is come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light. They loved their sin more than they loved Jesus, because their deeds were evil. And look at this in verse 20. This is John chapter 3, verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You know, this is awesome theology. And again, there's many people that don't let the Bible get in the way of what they believe. But if you believe the Bible, this is just explaining why things are the way they are today. It's not a matter of liberal versus conservative. You know what it really amounts to? It's light versus dark. It's morality versus evil. And people who are evil, people who do not want to live a moral life consistent with what God has revealed in His Word, they want to indulge their flesh. They want to divorce and remarry as many times as they want. They want to just shack up with people. They want to be homosexuals. They want to drink. They want to smoke. They want to lie. They want to carouse. They want to be dishonest. They want to file fraudulent returns. Whatever it is, people like that, it says they do not come to the light because they don't want their deeds to be made manifest or to be reproved. And this is really what it all comes down to. I think that liberal, conservative, politics type of thing is just a ruse. The real bottom line is we've got We got a spirit of Antichrist coming against the Holy Spirit of Christ in this earth. And there is a moral collapse and a moral conflict. And we often wrap it in other terminology and describe it differently, but it really comes down to moral versus immoral, godly versus ungodly, light versus darkness. And if there was a true fear of God, if the church was standing up and proclaiming the truth in love, not condemning the sinner, but condemning the sin and saying this type of lifestyle is wrong. It's damaging to you. It hurts society. It will make society unravel. And if the church was standing up and proclaiming the truth and showing that there is a day coming when our deeds will be answered, and that when you die, you don't cease to exist. We didn't evolve from slime. We don't go into dust and turn into nothing. There is an immortal soul on the inside of a person. And if people were aware of this, I guarantee you it would cause a fear in the hearts of even people who haven't submitted themselves to God. But they would be afraid of going out and doing some things and then thinking that they could kill themselves and avoid prosecution. They would be aware that, man, all I've done is just end any chance of mercy I've ever had, and I've just ushered myself into an eternity without Christ. And it would restrain the amount of sin. Again, I go back to these scriptures that the transgression of the wicked says within my heart that there is no fear of God before their eyes. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, but by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. If we see people not departing from evil, then according to the scriptures, because they don't have a fear of the Lord. They don't reverence God. They don't honor God. They don't even acknowledge God. They think that they are God. They are answerable only to themselves. It's only what they can get by with that matters. If they don't get caught, then it's not wrong. That's a person that has no fear of God before their eyes. And this is the reason that the world is going the direction it is because there is less of a consciousness of God, less of an awareness of God and of an accountability to God. And because of it, people are doing things today and flaunting their sin in ways that they wouldn't have done 50 years or 100 years ago because society was more influenced by the gospel than it is today. I'm sure there's multiple reasons for that, but one of the reasons is because of television, the internet, movies. They basically have been taken over by the ungodly, and they are promoting ungodly values that go completely against God, and this has been adopted as the norm of society, and it's damaging. I tell you, we need the fear of the Lord, and that's the reason that I'm teaching on this, and I believe it would make a big, big difference in your life. We're out of time on this today, but I am going to continue to teach on this again tomorrow. Let me remind you that on Friday will be my last day to teach on this subject, the fear of the Lord. So we're drawing to a conclusion. I encourage you to please go to the effort of calling or writing and getting this teaching. I think it could really help you and other people. So listen to our announcer and then call or write today. Join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
What can five people accomplish in 12 short days? More than even they could imagine. During a 12-day mission trip to Uganda, five students from Charis Bible College, Chicago, witnessed firsthand how the love, grace, and power of God could forever change their lives and the lives of those they touched. While on a ministry trip to the hospital in Nakasaki, a remote town about an hour outside Kampala, this group of world changers prayed for and laid hands on the sick, telling them of the love of God and the price Jesus paid for their healing 2,000 years ago. Of the 150 patients in the Nakasaki Hospital, 117 were released that very day. Find out how God can use you to change the world. Log on to CharisBibleCollege.org to learn more about CBC Colorado Springs or any of our CBC Extension schools around the world. Charis Bible College, an extension of Andrew Womack Ministries. Are you a world changer? Harris Bible College has extension schools across America. The same truth that sets you free at our main campus in Colorado Springs will set you free in Dallas, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, Kansas City, Missouri, Atlanta, Georgia, Dyer, Indiana, Orlando, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Plymouth, Massachusetts, Jacksonville, Florida, and Gardner, Massachusetts. Log on to KarisBibleCollege.org today or call our phone center and ask for a complete listing of CBC Extension School locations near you. Change your life. Change the world.
Andrew's complete teaching titled The Fear of the Lord was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD, or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD titled No Want or Lack, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith has been released in paperback. It's available for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Houston, Texas this week for a Gospel Truth seminar February 9th through the 11th, in Humble, Texas on Sunday, February 12th, in Seattle, Washington for a Gospel Truth rally February 17th, in Portland, Oregon for a Gospel Truth rally February 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Karis Bible College campus days March 14th through the 16th. He'll also be in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth seminar March 29th through the 31st, in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth seminar April 12th through the 14th, and in Colorado Springs for the Better Way to Worship Conference April 25th through the 27th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.